there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Hello, folks, and welcome to the podcast. This is our 56th episode. Why do we keep counting that one?
Because we're proud.
Yeah, it's
we're proud of those numbers, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. Tonight we are talking about a Swedish film. We're back in our own yard, backyard here in the Nordic countries, and doing supernatural horror,
folklore,
with realism, and it's all very mixed. But the film is called Border or Grenze. Is that true?
Grenze, maybe.
Yeah. It's a film that won the award at Cannes, that award I can never say correctly.
Regard.
Something like that. Yes, but
something like that.
So it has some
awards in its
pedigree.
Bag.
Yeah, it has some pedigree. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. That's a better word for it.
Before we get into all that, let's just start with, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And it's almost Halloween.
Yeah, we're releasing. Yeah,
we forgot about that.
Aren't we recently releasing on Halloween?
Yeah, on Halloween. Yeah. And that's why we chose a movie, of this kind,
this
I guess. It actually fits
pretty
well.
It actually fits pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Also, we also chose to watch Private Life, both of us, which is not a Halloween movie, but it does take place during Halloween at some
Yes, it does.
And you could also say it's kind of a scary thing they're going through. So,
Yes.
I do think we have a theme here, even though it was a little bit inadvertently.
All right. we'll go with that. But what are you drinking?
I have a beer called the Dunkelfeste.
Okay, it's a Halloween thing, isn't it?
Or? Yes, it's a disturbingly dark beer, apparently.
Cool.
I'm not quite sure where it's from, but it's only 4.4%, so I'm not sure if it's all that dark.
Well,
here goes.
We'll see.
I will describe the color for you.
Okay. And now he pours. Perfect angle, as always.
It is kind of dark.
Yeah.
I mean, disturbingly dark? I don't know, but dark it is. Let's see.
Yeah.
The Halloween beer.
Yeah. Let's go. Any good?
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of dark yet sharp in its taste, and
only 4.4%.
Yeah, so I'll even stay fairly sober tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was my Halloween intro.
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking.
Are you,
what do you think I'm drinking? I just came.
But you just went out traveling.
Yeah, I just came from abroad. I went to the UK to see a concert this weekend. And of course, at customs, we get to have some alcohol when we get into Iceland. So I bought 9 six-packs of Hogan.
Of course. Sticking to your favorite.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Well, it is pretty when you're pouring that beer, but still.
Yeah.
You need to go out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this. This is the best.
I mean, you
one.
Can try some other things like the Dunkelfeste. It sounds kind of German.
I did try some Samuel Smith, I think it was, from Yorkshire in London.
Okay.
It was a white beer, wheat beer.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was impressed.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you get from getting out of your comfort zone.
Well, I didn't go far out of my comfort zone to try another wheat beer. But I drank a lot of White Russian, though, that night at the concert.
Seven shot?
Shall I tell
White
you?
White Russian?
No. Probably close, but yeah. Shall I tell you what I went to see?
Please do.
Yeah. Zac Brown Band at the O2 Arena. You know what that is?
I have no idea.
It's a country blues rock kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of mainstream stuff. Okay. It was really fun.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about the band, and it was just a good old time, you know? Had my bolo tie, had my cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Went all in.
Yeah, okay.
And there were four of us, like friends from way back, so.
How come you decided to take like a random concert at the O2 Arena?
The guys wanted to go. London. The guys wanted to go,
They knew. Yeah.
They knew. One of them had been really kind of following and liking it. And so he just came up with it and we just jumped on it, you know?
Okay. It's good. That's really cool.
It's pretty cool.
Huh? Yeah.
To actually, I would never have gone to this ever if I were to decide. But turns out it was really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Something you're going to listen to now?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Maybe.
Once in a while? Yeah.
If I get drunk enough.
Okay.
I did get pretty
after
drunk
after a few White
night,
Russians.
Actually,
then,
yeah. It wasn't pretty. No. Yesterday. Mm.
You just keep on going.
Yeah.
I mean, it's as if you don't even have any kids.
I do not learn.
Exactly.
Then I had to travel all day yesterday. Well, you know, trains and planes and whatnot. And it was a tough day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but you know, I'm all good now.
That's good.
But
that's
I good. Did get to see a few films on the plane rides.
Yeah.
Shall I go?
Please do.
I'll do one. You do one, okay?
Yes, and then we can get into private life.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I did see three films. That's pretty good. I did.
But you can only talk about one.
Yes, yes. No. I will mention the other two. The other two are The Big Sick,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty good romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Pretty funny, and has it has some stuff to say about some real issues. It was just good fun. Always glad to see Holly Hunter. That's always great. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ray Romano, actually. That was good, too. And, good fun. Game Night.
Yeah. Jason Bateman thing.
Yeah. Kind of fun.
It's about parenting, right?
No.
Family issue? No, not really.
It's just
not at all.
No, it's just a comedy kind of thing.
Okay,
silly. kind of funny at times, but not really. You know, but the one I really liked, and this is 4.5 stars out of 5 for
wow.
me.
Yeah, on a plane even.
On a plane, and this is I was laughing. The entire film. It's Deadpool 2. It's even better than the first one. You see, it's apparently a part of some kind of a Marvel universe or whatever. I don't care about that.
No.
But it was just so fucking funny. It doesn't take itself seriously at all. And
I know.
I tell you, that guy, Ryan Reynolds, he is fantastic. He could... shit in a bag, handed to me, I would treasure it forever.
Great.
There's nothing
that's
he can do no
that's
wrong.
That's fandom right there.
Yeah.
You know, I'll give you that. Like, I like his character. I do like what he's doing. And it seems like he has a bit of that Deadpool mentality going on in his private life. So
yeah, I don't know anything about his private life. But he's just so funny. He's like a comedian first and foremost, and he's one of those people that just knows how to deliver a line.
Yeah,
and he's got it all, and also it has this great actress called Zazie Beetz, who stars in Atlanta with Donald Glover.
Uh-huh.
She was great mm-hmm. as well.
She's the one who's lucky? Or
yeah, she's the one who's lucky. Yeah. Yeah. She actually has some really good funny scenes. Just that
okay.
superpower of being lucky.
Yeah. It's kind of that is a superpower yeah. you can relate to.
Actually. They can just spin so much around that, and it's so funny all the time. You know nothing's going to happen to her, and she gets all these breaks, and it's just laugh out loud funny. I was just, people were turning around in their seats and trying to see what I was watching there. Really good.
Yeah,
I mean, this is as good as it can be with this kind of film. As always, you don't rate films in a vacuum, you know.
No, you can't do that. Yeah, but how come it's better than the first one?
I don't know.
I enjoyed the first one, but I found it a little bit too anal fixated.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. So it was a little bit too much. But yeah,
I enjoyed that. Really enjoy that, but I don't remember not that much. It's one of those, you know, you don't really care to remember stuff, but it's just a really good time. Yeah. And it's probably just better because it's recent for me.
Yeah, and it also says something that it actually holds up when you had some expectations about it because you actually enjoyed the first one. It's a little bit like when I saw Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that one.
Wow, and that was
once
good.
Once the second one came out, I was just thinking, I really need to watch this because, I mean, if they can pull anything just slightly as good off with the next one, that would be awesome. But then your expectations is up there and it just falls flat completely. So...
That's too bad. I didn't see the second one. I decided not to after the ratings.
Don't. You shouldn't do that. But I will look at Deadpool 2, I think.
Just if you want to like
check it out.
Just fun.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I have not really been watching fun movies.
Okay.
I've always been going to Netflix trying to see what's there, and that 22nd of July is just staring me right in the eyes, but I'm not clicking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you willingly just go into necessarily. But I watched The Kindergarten Teacher. Have you heard about that one?
Well, you told me about it. I haven't actually checked on it, but tell me more.
I will do. I realized that it's actually one of those American retellings of a foreign film. So the original one was from Israel.
Okay.
It was made in 2004, I think. No, 2014.
Okay.
And now they redid it in New York. And from what I can tell, it's basically the same story. So this is about a kindergarten teacher played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, who realizes that one of her kids that she's teaching... is getting these episodes where he's creating poetry.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, like in the afternoon, he just stops and he recites a poem and then he snaps out of it again. And she's kind of an amateur poet, or she wants to be. She's more like an appreciator of poetry. So she starts memorizing them, writing them down, and gets obsessed with them, really.
How old is that kid? 4 or 5?
Six, five years old, yeah.
Right.
Maybe 6, yeah. But around that. So it's actually fairly good, this movie. It's extremely uncomfortable because it crosses this line with how obsessed a person should be with a kid and with other people's kids. And you know, you get a little bit of this not to say like pedophilia, mm-hmm. but you get that kind of thing, even without the
a little bit of a
there's
vibe
no
there.
Sexuality or anything here, but just the how you start to exploit kids who don't know anything, mm-hmm. Even though the intention is good. So I was just throughout this movie just actually verbally saying no, or like, oh, you can't do that, like don't do that, like mm-hmm. I was really frustrated by it. And Alien was getting a little bit like, she thought it was really fun that I was actually verbalizing it so much. But it's a very uncomfortable film in an odd way, because it, you know, it's a kindergarten teacher and a kid who makes poetry. You know,
okay.
But it goes a place and it becomes obsessive. And you know, Maggie Gyllenhaal is fantastic. Had it not been for Maggie Gyllenhaal, then this movie wouldn't be as good, because it goes a little bit into that arty territory because of the poetry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit of a suspension of disbelief. You know.
Yeah, we liked the last film we talked about, which was about poetry, Patterson.
Yeah, yeah. But once it's a six-year-old kid, mm-hmm. it becomes a little bit different. There's some obviously some things I would like to change with this movie, but it's a really good film. I would highly recommend it. I will definitely check out the Israeli version.
Okay.
And see if that's anything different,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Cool.
So, yeah, Maggie Gyllenhaal is amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
They got something, these, siblings.
Yeah, the Gyllenhaal siblings.
Yeah.
other than that, I haven't watched anything, really.
But no. There was one film that we both watched on Netflix, uh-huh. which was Private Life.
Yeah.
By
Tamara Jenkins.
Which did something with Philip Seymour Hoffman. I saw that and I liked it.
Savages.
Yeah, Savages, or The Savages. Mm. But that I really liked that kind of a little bit of a Woody Allen vibe about that film.
Not stylistically. But yeah, it's a little bit of an ensemble piece.
New York vibe there going on.
Yeah, yeah.
We both rated this film highly.
Yes,
I really
did.
Enjoyed it. We know some people that have been trying to have a baby,
mm-hmm.
that are currently in IVF treatment and have been for a while, have had success. Some have had no success.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, really tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that's what I really liked about this movie, because it is a thing that is very relatable. At least, like, I also have a few friends who go through this kind of situation, and it creates some really relatable situations.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're not going through it, then. I mean, there's some real scenes here. There's some real episodes that you can relate to.
Can I just say how good is Catherine Hahn? Wow. She is fantastic. I think it's the power of Netflix, I think you can see here. This is a Netflix original. It has Paul Giamatti and Catherine Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, we have Giamatti doing a Netflix film here, and this is what he does now, and he's like A-lister, great actor.
And he's amazing.
He's amazing.
I love his performance in this film.
It was really good.
Yeah, like whenever I see him, then I'm also just transported into that world. I'm not really seeing Paul Giamatti.
He always gets
me. One of those guys.
He does something on TV now called, I think it's called Billions.
Yeah.
I've consciously not watch that. I'm not going to watch that. It has that a British redhead guy also who did Homeland, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that guy. But I don't think he should be doing mainstream TV.
Who? The Paul Giamatti?
Giamatti, yeah. But, you know, who am I to say?
you got to eat.
You don't like your heroes to do that.
No, but it might be really fun doing it.
It might be really lucrative doing it.
Also that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But private life.
Mm. You told me you had some issues.
I do have some issues, but I don't know if I want to get into them right away.
Okay.
I just wanted to get it through to all the listeners and to you that I actually really like this film.
Okay. Before you start like dismantling it.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, because it's rare that you see this kind of relationship unfold on the screen, which is so based in deep understanding of each other, and but without really seeing that part of their life, you know, like they've been through a lot, and you know it. They've been through like a great working life and focused on their careers, and now this thing is just taking over, and their relationship is at a different point now. And there's no real, like, there's nothing sexy about it like that, like not on an everyday level. And even romance is hard to see, but then there's these small glimpses of affection for each other that that both Catherine Hahn and Paul Giamatti does really well. Very subtle and just great performances. And, you know, I also love when people, well, films use nudity in a very direct and natural way.
Yeah.
No, because,
Catherine Hahn has a scene there that very, very kind of doesn't feel like she's nude, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she is, but it's just... You just accept it, and that is why some films always feel a little bit fake, because this is what happens within like the homes, or the walls of the home, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you need to show that sometimes. Mm. So. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, I guess when you're trying to have a baby, it consumes you. I know this. Mm-hmm. You probably know this. Yeah. And it and it tests relationships. That's for sure. I can only imagine having to go through treatment after treatment of IVF for whatever people
several
are doing.
Years.
Yeah, for years. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty common thing. Mm-hmm. It's expensive and it's really difficult, and you need the woman needs to take all kinds of hormones, and it's just so it was really relatable. I think it's
a
pretty big film because it has such a huge audience, I would think.
Yeah, even people who are not trying in that way, you know, I think it's relatable on many levels. You also have some, you know, you have this other character, Sadie. Who is like dealing with something completely different in her life, like trying to make purpose of herself.
Yeah.
You know.
Are you talking about the mother or the daughter?
The daughter.
Or the daughter. Because the mother is an interesting character as well. Mm-hmm. She gets her space. We should say that. Should I go into plot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go a little
about
bit
this?
Into it.
This couple, they convince their step-niece, to, she agrees to give them an egg for, and actually that's a little bit of a weakness, how that comes about, I think, but her mother, played by Molly Shannon, she delivers a really good performance for me. She's a comic actress, mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saturday Night Live, I think, and other stuff. She's really relatable, even though she's kind of the enemy mm-hmm. of the heroes here.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought she did really well. I thought it was a really well-written character.
Yeah.
Because people are like that. People have flaws.
I'm sure there are people like that. But I was a little bit... I didn't care that much about that aspect of it because I felt like the whole family part, that other family, was a little bit of a... superfluous, really. It was outside of the focus of the film, and it made it a little bit long. Sometimes they played many of those scenes a little bit for laughs, maybe except for her scenes in particular.
I mean, they have to create conflict somewhere, I guess. But
there was a lot of conflict
without it. So maybe it was unnecessary to have that plot point of having it be in the family or
yeah, because they don't really go much into detail about it.
They don't need to do it like that. I thought to myself when I said to Shep, this I would never do this. To just make things so complicated within the family and convince even if it's a step niece to donate an egg and go through all kinds of hormone treatment and whatnot to do so without talking to her parents.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
But it is very strange.
You got to have conflict, man.
Yeah. And it's also a means to actually discuss the whole who really owns the baby once it happens. They have that one scene where they're together and Sadie, the daughter, is saying, well, our baby. And you know, it's kind of a red flag right there.
Huge red flag.
But you wouldn't get that if you got an anonymous donor. It would not create any sort of tension.
No.
And you wouldn't go through the whole process of actually extracting the egg.
Exactly, because they had already been donated.
Yeah. So there's...
There's that.
So you would lose a lot of conflict. But then again, I don't know. Like when you got into that situation where they started asking her, I felt like I had watched a whole movie already with all their defeats and their tries and everything they went through. I actually felt like it was almost getting to the point where it would be a whole movie. Like a contained movie. But then they added that extra feature of the film or like the plot. And then it continued for, for quite a while again.
So 2 hours. No. I did not feel it was too long. I enjoyed it all the way through. Because I just wanted to see what happened. And I think they really ended it really well.
Yeah, I think so too.
You can't give up hope.
No.
And we
shouldn't spoil the ending like but it's definitely I enjoyed the ending. Mm-hmm. I expected something different.
Sure.
So that's but one last thing I'm going to go into was like one of the very noticeable things, which was the lenses they were using and the camera work.
Yeah.
Stuff was very much out of focus all the time because they were focusing, like having very narrow focus on people.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that?
I did. I forgot it until you just said it, but I did at the time.
Yeah. And I understand, I can understand a reason why you would do that in order to show that they're very obsessed with this one thing and themselves and not their surroundings, like, you know.
I think it accentuates the chaotic nature of what's going on there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
And I like it to a certain extent, but but I thought it was too much.
Yeah.
It seemed a little bit like a gimmick that people were walking in and out of a focus. Sometimes it worked, especially in the beginning when Catherine Hahn wakes up from her insemination process. Mm-hmm. At the hospital, and everything is blurry and going in and out and a focus, and there's a nurse coming, walking directly into the focus of the camera. But when you use a camera like that and pull attention to how a camera works and the blocking of scenes becomes very apparent,
yeah,
to me at least,
yeah,
when you know that the cameras are only fixated on certain points. I don't know.
It didn't bother me.
No.
I sometimes feel you have the burden of knowledge when it comes to stuff like that. And it kind of, you notice it a little bit more than normal people, other people.
yeah.
You know, like more like a professional.
Possibly.
So maybe it affects you more. It didn't bother me. I noticed it. And I think it should be used sparsely. I like that word in filmmaking. Sparsely. Yeah. Use it sparsely. Mm-hmm. And
that's the trick.
Key, I think, yeah, most of the time.
It is.
Create a style,
mm-hmm, but break the rules a little bit once in a while.
Yeah.
So you get excited and shocked.
True.
A bit.
But yeah, overall, I highly recommend this film.
Yeah, it was a great Netflix experience.
Mm-hmm. This is what Netflix does now. Paul Giamatti, Catherine Hahn, Molly Shannon, John Carroll Lynch, director of
Lucky. Yeah.
So
always nice seeing him.
Yeah. You probably like him more in front of the camera than behind it.
Yes, I do. Even bad films he can pull up to a certain.
Yeah. I just like him either way.
Mm.
So
okay.
So yeah, well, great film. Well, go watch it.
Yeah,
but
go watch it on Netflix.
Shall we go to Border?
När jag var liten trodde jag att jag var något speciellt. Jag hade en massa olika idéer om mig själv. Men sen blev jag vuxen och fattat att jag är bara människa. Jag hade fantasier om att Elbo brukar dansa här. Som vi sa då, va? Är du mänsklig att tänka så?
That was a clip from Border, or Gräns, the new Ali Abbasi movie about a border guard who has a sixth sense and can kind of pick up people's feelings. That makes her extremely good at her job as a border guard. And all of a sudden, she busts a guy who is carrying some child porn on him. Yeah. And that kind of starts the whole story. But the movie is actually more about this border guard and her awakening.
Well, let's start by saying that she has what we are told is some kind of a chromosome defect, because mm-hmm, she looks, by normal beauty standards, not really pretty, shall we say?
Yeah.
Maybe more like a troll than a person, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. It's fairly obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very... They're not hiding it in any way. And sure.
Good but point. She has no idea about this. She thinks it's like a chromosome defect.
Yeah, but it's not a spoiler to say that she finds out stuff about herself and her mm-hmm background and where she actually comes from and other such things along the way. But we have a Well, it's really difficult to describe what this actually is. It's a fantasy horror.
I would say it's a retelling of a folk tale set in modern times.
Sure.
Actually.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Sack of beer.
I felt very much like I was watching a folktale, at least, but with these modern, kind of a different gritty kind of take on it, and maybe even a realistic take.
I actually think it's very good on many different levels.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell me.
I mean, if you just read what the critics have said, it's like... Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's Nordic noir, social realism, fantasy, horror, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it like defies genres. I mean, if you do that, you've got something, right?
Maybe you do.
Yeah.
Or maybe you have something that's not that focused.
I didn't see it like that. I was really impressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good stuff going on here. Script is really good, really, really good. It has the pacing is for me it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of slow, but
yeah,
you're always in it.
Quite slow, yeah.
Yeah, they have some really nice stuff. Actually, they're saying from the people who made. Let the right one in.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's a screenwriter or screenwriters, but I can see that though. I can see
isn't
that.
It also the book of
it's
Let
made
the
from
right
a
one.
Book. Yeah,
yeah,
and the writer author. And the author
yeah. Yeah.
Comes and contributes to the script, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know why Let the Right One In was so good, because the same director as the Right One In also did The Snowman. Famously,
yeah. Yeah.
Which exactly. We did not like.
Yeah. No,
but the pacing is—I think it's one of the biggest strengths. I want to mention one scene where you kind of get different aspects in one scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's the scene where they introduce the pregnant woman, the couple
yeah.
going
yeah.
to the hospital,
yeah. Yeah.
and. She, the main character, Tina, she drives them to a hospital. But so we have one scene when they introduce the couple and they have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see a human side to Tina.
Yes.
She, of course, drives them. We can see her connection to nature because she stops for the deer, I believe it was, or moose.
Yeah, a family of deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... in one scene, and then she drives them to the hospital. She helps them go in, and then she stops, and we kind of get to, in that particular scene, we see that she doesn't really belong.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one scene, and you get all that
yeah.
in a space of like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Really well done.
Yes.
Telling for the quality of the script, I would say.
Hmm. And without saying much,
no,
you know, it was all action, and
yeah.
And you totally understood what was going on here.
Yeah,
this is in essence her struggle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I have to say as well that when you can when you can kind of weave together. Social realism, because there's a lot of that. She's an outcast, and
mm-hmm.
and for the kind of social realism, we have Roland, her roommate slash boyfriend slash I don't know friend.
Yes.
I don't know. Not friend.
Not friend at all. Like
guy in her
partner,
life.
Partner.
Yeah, I guess.
You know,
he is really a really well written character. I would say he's not made a caricature. He is kind of, but he's not. It's not overdone.
No,
and we see kind of where her place is. What that this is where she is. She is living with this guy. He has no interest in her.
Yeah.
But they just put it on, she's not alone.
They put it on a little thick, you know. I mean, he has dogs, which is kind of the only thing that, like, the only kind of animal that doesn't like Tina, you know, the border guard.
Yeah.
It's a little bit weird that this one guy she finds to stay with her has three dogs that doesn't like her.
Well, like, the dogs play a role as well.
Yeah, when they do.
Get into the movie. But I see your point. I acknowledge your point.
Let's leave it at that. Yeah, okay.
But it also shows the situation she is in. She finds herself in the situation with this guy.
Does and how she can't really take care of herself. Like, she doesn't think of her own needs in any way.
Yeah. But what I was going to say is that when you have that realism kind of thing alongside fantasy like this, I think that's pretty special, because they're like different poles, I would say. Realism and fantasy, they're totally opposites. And then you can weave them all together. It kind of an achievement, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's always great when you can tie a fantasy element to something that you can actually relate to and understand. You know.
Yeah, because the fantasy is really relatable as well.
Yeah. And I think it's cool the way it takes that notion of, well, should we say that elephant in the room, you know, trolls?
Yeah. It's not really a secret. No.
But, you know, taking trolls and making kind of a realistic spin on them and situating them in a real situation like that, they do it really well. At one point, they even talk about this thing that usually involves trolls, you know, shiftlings, where you switch out babies with other trolls and stuff like that. You get into a little bit of that. Yeah. And I think the way this movie is tying that whole folklore into the real world situation is pretty clever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought to myself at that moment when this comparison came into light, I was just thinking, okay, it starts to make sense, this thing, and it's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, it goes to show the unbelievable strength of the script.
Yeah,
again, then we have the horror aspect, and that scene when the police kind of recruit Tina to help them with a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that scene when she is, we might as well say it's about pedophilia.
Yeah, I already mentioned the word. Yeah.
And she's kind of sniffing something awful going on. And just that anticipation. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was sheer terror for me, just waiting to see what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have all the gore for horror, but this was really horrible.
Yeah, I don't think it was horror in that sense. It was terror, you know?
No, it wasn't horror. It was still horrible.
Yes, it was very horrible. Like, it was I watched this movie by myself in the cinema in the middle of the day, actually, right after work.
Nice.
It was a nice experience.
Yeah.
But right there, that scene you were describing, I was, you know, tearing up. You know, it was really tough.
Yeah, you were talking about that uneasy feeling there.
Yeah.
In, before, but yeah. Wow, that was really difficult to to anticipate.
Yeah.
And but then they resolved it pretty well, cleverly. It didn't kind of take over the picture.
No.
You know.
No, but you know, that's actually one of my downsides to this film, like, because it's a very strong subject to bring up, but I think they diverted it and made it into something different and kind of forgot that whole strain of the story. Like, after that scene, you basically don't get back to any of that. Like, then you cross over to fantasy land.
Well, you don't get back to the
border control.
Horrible stuff.
Well, I mean, you don't get back to her day job. You don't get back to any of that. Like, it's kind of like it's over. And now we just focus on, other connections.
Well, her newfound... She's discovering stuff.
Yes. You know, I would describe this as a kind of a coming of age and sexual awakening story. And and I told you before we started that it reminded me a lot of different other movies.
Yeah.
And one film that I really was thinking about all the time due to the way it is shot and also the subject matter in that sense is Blue is the Warmest Color. The movie called, it's also La Vie d'Adèle. It's a French film.
I know the film. I haven't seen it though.
No. It's also a very slow film. And one thing that strikes me with that film is that the camera is basically showing the main actress's face the whole movie. It's always her face and then her watching someone or like how she experiences things. And Blue is the Warmest Color is about like a 17-year-old girl who is flirting with homosexuality, like trying to figure out who she is.
Yeah.
So like when I'm saying that and the way it's shot, would you agree that, I mean, you can see like Border here is basically doing that same thing. It's very much her, Tina, the border control guard's perspective.
So. Yeah.
And they're very fixated with her face all the time. To a fault a little bit, because it makes her face get into this very, you know, you scrutinize her face a lot and you start to try and see where is that makeup starting and where is it ending.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that. I get what you're saying, but it kind of brings me to the whole aspect of the makeup. How good was that?
It was very
really,
good.
Really, really good.
Yeah. I think especially when they were aggressive. You know, that really changed the whole thing. But there was something like you were so close to her at all times. So the makeup it had to be good. And it was really, really good.
Yeah.
But there was still a little bit where it seemed a little bit fake to me.
Really?
But because you were so close all the time. And they wanted you to look at all the cracks and wrinkles and, you know.
At no point did I feel that.
No?
No. No. At no point. But
you know, it's a fascinating way of telling the story, I think.
Can we talk about... I want to talk about the two things that you usually notice then. The cinematography and the sound.
Mm-hmm.
If I can just talk about the sound, I thought it was, the music was very fitting and very not overused, shall we say. I thought it was really good when it was used as well. The cinematography, I talked to you before the show about the effects how they used in the woods.
Yeah,
looking through my book from Sidney Lumet and trying to remember which kind of a lens does that when the edges are fuzzy in the frame.
Yeah,
and you told me something. It's something
tilt shift lenses.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it really underlined the animalistic nature of that character out there in the woods.
That aspect of her character, the animalistic aspect, was it was just perfect. Let's talk about that sex scene. How perfect was that? First of all, the gender role. Shift. Reversal.
Yes.
That was awesome. Let's just do that. That's good writing.
It was very,
that was
surprising.
That was a spoiler, though.
Yes.
Sorry.
A little bit of a spoiler. Yeah. But there you go.
There you go.
You know, I mean, there's not a lot of surprises in this film, and it doesn't. I don't think it really spoils it.
No, it's something you need to. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, you just watch it and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Let it like kind of flow over you.
Yeah. Yeah, but when it all comes down to it, though, I'm having trouble with what the message of this film is, because there's so many things going on. There's so many like societal things. There's the us and them. There is minorities. There's a lot of stuff that it touches upon, but I'm not quite sure what it wants to say about it. Do you have any?
I think you can make that point. Definitely, it takes a lot. It's taking on a lot.
Yeah, but it doesn't resolve any of it. It doesn't give you, like, I don't feel like I knew what it wanted to say with this story. And there's so much potential of saying something very relevant. But when it all comes down to it, like, what I'm left with is, you shouldn't trust people.
I think the point you made earlier is a good one about it being a coming of age thing. That's the main thing. This is how it ends up, I guess.
Mm.
And it also the message right is right and wrong is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what you are, how you are. There's right and there's wrong. And you just know.
Mm-hmm.
She just knows.
Well, she asked the question, what is human? At one point.
True, true.
And then you also have, like... well, I mean, she is the one on that border in more than one sense.
Oh, yeah.
It's... I'm not sure where she falls at the end, you know? I'm not quite sure what...
I'm not sure we need to know which side of the line she is.
But where it kind of falls makes me think that all the rest of the movie was kind of in vain.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't go into... yeah, I don't know. Like I was just confused. I'm not sure I can articulate it in a better way, but I feel like it was a great film. It had some good ideas and very relevant topics, but it didn't quite know what to say with them. Kind of the same with having this focus on pedophilia. Seems like a way to really get your heart going and make you engaged, but then it kind of just lets it go as if it was just to lead you on. It was just to get you hooked.
I think it's more of an attempt to make you question humanity, what's humanity.
Yeah.
And this is something she is actually dealing with. What's humanity? Mm-hmm. Am I human? Am I not? Am I a troll? You know?
Yeah.
I think it all fits.
Yeah.
I'm really happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's... I hadn't actually formed that argument myself that it was a coming of age. If I wanted to say, what is this?
Yeah.
I would say a lot of different things, but I would say that's a strong point, coming of age thing and mm-hmm. her kind of evolving into something that is human and something that's mm-hmm. not, something that knows mm-hmm. what's right and what's wrong. Yeah. Can I get to know yourself and... also kind of stand on your own two feet, because he's not really doing that when we begin.
Not at all. She's getting that push and awakened.
So many clever little things in there as well. I just have to recommend it highly.
Yeah.
I do.
It was a very good film.
Very good film.
Yeah. Also, there's one scene that reminded me a lot of Annihilation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I won't go much more into that, but it was like the use of the music, very subdued, but certain places very like loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was great. It gave me chills and it underlined the feeling of the main character very well.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
just exactly kind of the point I was trying to make before.
Yeah,
it just came hard when it came, and
but it was actually unnoticeable throughout the film. Mostly. At least I didn't pay much attention to it because it was so good.
Uh-huh.
You know that's exactly. Usually the best recommendation from
me. Yeah, you can get
yeah. So yeah, I really recommend this film, but I'm a little bit conflicted by it. I gave it 3.5 star because I really don't know what it wants to say. Mm. I think it could be a little bit more like tight with that, but it probably doesn't mean to be. And you make a really great point again, like the focus is the coming of age story. It's also what I think is the main story here.
Yeah, I made your point.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, you took my point and I really enjoy that point that you found.
Well, yes.
And on those terms, then it does what it sets out to do, you know.
Yeah.
So
4.5 for me.
Wow.
Really, really happy with it.
Yeah,
really happy with it. What a night out that was.
Yeah,
quite pleased.
Yeah, I probably have to watch it again because Aileen really wants to watch it.
You should. Might be fun for you to. There are films you should watch
it.
Again. Yeah,
and I'm sure this one would probably improve. On
with Aileen alongside you.
Oh, maybe she would also just say, no way, this thing.
Really?
Trolls. You know, I actually timed it the first time they were saying the word troll, like making the connection. It was 1 hour into the film.
Yeah?
And
not the half hour?
No, hour, a whole hour. I looked at my watch. I was like, whoa, this is like... I felt like it was a little bit slow in the beginning, and it could really, like, they could have put that a little bit earlier because everybody was thinking it. Everybody knew. And like, if you hadn't heard anything about it, I mean, you had made that connection like probably 45 minutes ago.
Well, these people are connected somehow. You would certainly get that, but. No.
Yeah.
I think it's a strength more than a weakness that they make the shift, not a half hour into, but an hour in. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But you had gotten it before, you know. I looked at my watch half an hour in, it would probably have been the meeting or something with the other guy. Maybe, you know.
You get it, especially if you read anything. Just yes. Description of it by the the theater. But yeah, I thought the pacing was a strength. So we might not agree.
No,
wholly here. This is good.
But 4.5 stars, that's really good. You're really gonna watch it again, I guess.
Really impressed.
Yeah.
Maybe you can poke some more holes in it next time.
Yes.
Try to.
I mean, it's always fun to rewatch a film because it can go either way.
Yeah, it can.
Yeah. That's the really fun thing about Letterboxd when you're reviewing your films or like logging them, because when you re-log it, then you don't see your rating before, and you have to put it in, and then you see, it actually lost 1 star on repeated viewings. Apparently I'm not that consistent.
Well, you're pretty consistent, but you know, you can change your mind, which is a strength.
Thank you so much.
Anyway, I think that's it for today. We have some news, don't we, though? We have some news about Spotify.
Yes, we do. We are finally on it.
Yes.
You can find us on Spotify.
Yeah.
Where all the cool kids are.
Yeah.
Now, you can do a search for a Nordic Film Podcast, and we'll pop up.
Or even do a search for the Nordic Film Podcast, because we are the Nordic Film Podcast. And we will soon be named the Nordic Film Podcast.
Yeah, I think that's the way we're going. Yeah. But it takes a while. Making name changes, that's I mean, it's branding. It's all that kind of stuff.
It's busy work. It's busy.
You know. But maybe during Christmas. Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe it's a Christmas gift to the show.
We will see what we do next time. We're thinking about maybe...
we'll do
Rhapsody
it.
Or something exciting.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out.
We will do it together.
Yeah.
Whether it'll be a live show or if it'll be just recorded together.
Yeah. Rune is coming to Iceland.
I am. I'm also going to Boston for a podcasting conference, actually.
That's pretty cool.
So that's first. Getting some experience with the educational and academic podcasting crowd.
Yeah.
I'll be hyped and excited to start talking to you when I come to Iceland.
Gonna hang out with the nerds, which are really the cool kids.
It is.
Like, when it comes down to it,
podcast producers and hosts, those are just the cool kids. It's the people who know where they want to be, and they're there.
there you go.
Yeah. So I'll be in Iceland next time. So we'll have a great conversation about some amazing movie from the Icelandic cinemas.
Or some crappy movie.
True.
But like always, you can find us everywhere. You know, every platform.
Such
now
as?
With, now
such
with as? Spotify. Facebook, Twitter.
SoundCloud.
Yeah. And your favorite pod catcher, I guess.
Yes.
Thank you.
Doing
so
you can well.
Find us. And if you can manage to leave us a review, that'd be good as well.
Yeah. Yeah, the one place that is very important is iTunes and Apple Podcast, actually.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the places people go to find podcasts.
That
so
would
leave
be,
us a review there.
Yeah, much appreciated.
Yes. And also, the conversationpodcast.net. There you can find all the information. And if you have any feedback, if you have another take on Grens or border, if you thought it was slow paced or
horrible
or not,
send
us some feedback at contact@theconversationpodcast.net. Yeah,
sure. Okay, I think that's it. we'll just catch you next time.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Bye now.
Bye.